So rolls a riot van and sparks excitement in the boys. But the policemen look annoyed. Perhaps these are ones they should avoid. Got a chase last night from men with truncheons dressed in hats. I didn't do that much wrong, still ran away though for the laugh, just for the laugh. And please just stop talking, cause they won't find us if you do. Oh, those silly boys in blue. Well, they won't catch me and you. Have you been drinking, son? You don't look old enough to me. I'm sorry, officer, is there a certain age you're supposed to be? Cause nobody told me. And up rolls the riot van and these lads just wind the coppers up. They ask why they don't catch proper crooks. They get their address and their names took. But they couldn't care less. Him in, and there was no way he could win. Just had to take it on the chin.
Good Sunday morning, everyone. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 4 a.m. You're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO, Medford Touch Freeform Radio. We're also on the internet, www.wmfo.org. We multicast on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. And you can download the WMFO mobile app, 91.5fm.org. I'm your host, Don Lee Brown. On this Sunday, September the 18th, 2016 edition, edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports here virtually every Sunday from about 4 until 5 a.m. talking sports. Love to get you involved in the conversation. To do that, you need to give me a call. 1-855-915-WMFO. The call is on us. 1-855-915-WMFO. If you like numbers, it's 1-855-915-9636. 1-855-915-9636. Just about anything and everything is fair game as far as the world of sports is concerned. Certainly love to hear your perspective, what's going on out there in your neck of the sporting world. That number again, 1-855-915-WMFO. I'll be back. Okay, it's 11 minutes past the hour of 4 a.m. here on WMFO, Brown Perspective on Sports. We're talking sports here. Let's get right into Major League Baseball. Yesterday in the National League, the Pirates 10 and the Reds 4. The Braves 7 and the Nationals 3. Brewers 11 and the Cubs 3. The Pirates 7 and the Reds 3. That's the second game of the doubleheader. Pirates won both. The Phillies 8 and the Marlins zip. The Rockies 8 and the Padres zip. The Dodgers 6 and the Diamondbacks 2. The Cardinals 3 and the Giants 2. Over in the junior circuit, the Red Sox 6 and the Yankees 5. Cleveland 1 and the Tigers zip. That game went 10 innings. The Rays 5 and the Orioles 2. The Royals 3 and the White Sox 2. The A's 11 and the Rangers 2. The Angels 6 and the Blue Jays 1. The Astros 2 and the Mariners 1. And in interleague play, the Mets defeated the Twins 3-2, and that game went 12 innings. In the Red Sox game, Dustin Pedroia went 0-3. He's hitting 0-5. He's hitting .327 on the season. Still in second place in the batting for the batting championship. Xander Bogaerts went 3-4, scored 3 runs with 3 RBIs. He's hitting .299, got his 20th home run of the season. David Ortiz went 0-3 with an RBI. He also got a walk. He's hitting .318. Mookie Betts went 2-4, scored a run with an RBI. He's hitting .314. Henry Ramirez went 3-4. He's hitting .290. Travis Shaw went 0-4. He's hitting .252. Sandy Leon, 0-4, he's hitting .339. Jackie Bradley Jr., 1-2, scored a run, got 2 walks, he's hitting .273. And Benintendi went 1-3, scored a run, got a walk, he's hitting .324. David Price went 6 innings, gave up 9 hits, 5 runs, all of them earned, struck out 7, his ERA is 3.91. Ross came and pitched a third of an inning, walked one. He had a 3.27 ERA. Bonds came in, pitched an inning in the third with a walk, a strikeout, and he had a 4.10 ERA. He got the win, 4-1 on the season. And Kimbrel came in, pitched an inning in the third, faced 4 batters, struck out 4 batters. I guess he can't do much better than that. He had a 2.66 ERA, got his 27th save of the season against 29 opportunities. So, great day for the Red Sox as both the Orioles and the Blue Jays lost. The Red Sox now are in first place, 84-64. 3 games ahead of the Blue Jays and 3 games ahead of the Orioles, who are tied at 81-67. The Yankees are now 7 games back, 77-71 on the season. In the Central Division, Cleveland out in front, 86-62. Tigers trail 8 games behind, 78-70 of their record. And the Royals, world champion Royals, they don't think they're going to make the playoffs. 75-73, 11 games behind. West, the Rangers, 88-61, have a 9.5 game lead over both the Astros and the Mariners, who are tied at 78-70. Over in the National League, in the East, the Nationals are 88-60 with a 9-game lead over the Mets. The Cubs are 94-54. They've clinched the Central Division, and they have a 17-game lead over the St. Louis Cardinals. And out West, where are my West standings here? Oh, okay. Dodgers 84-64 with a commanding 5-game lead over the San Francisco Giants. In the wild card races in the American League, the Blue Jays and the Orioles are tied. And the Tigers are 3 back along with the Astros and Mariners. And the Yankees are 4 games out of the wild card race. In the National League, the Mets and the Giants are tied. The Cardinals are 2 back, the Pirates are 5 back, and the Marlins are 6 games back. And that's the way it looks right now in Major League Baseball. 416 here on WMFO in Medford, 91.5 in your FM dial on the internet, www.wmfo.org. Multicasting on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this the Sunday, September 18th, 2016 edition of a Brown Perspective on Sports, talking sports virtually every Sunday from 4 to 5 a.m. to get involved in the conversation. You have to give me a call, 1-855-915-WMFO, 1-855-915-9636. Be back.
After thousands of years, after crippling millions of children, polio will soon be stopped forever. All over the world, people are joining the men and women of Rotary to end polio now. People like Jackie Chan and Jane Goodall.
We are this close.
This close.
People like Archbishop Desmond Tutu.
This close.
People like you. Be a part of history. Help Rotary end polio now at rotary.org/endpolio. We are this close.
And this is brought to you by friends here at WMFO, Sounds of Praise Ministry, and a Brown Perspective on Sport. 423 is the Brown Perspective on Sport. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown. We're talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 to 5 a.m. To get involved in the conversation, you give me a call, 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-WMFO. Okay. Things are looking up as far as the Red Sox are concerned. If you did not hear the scores earlier, where were you? Wake up. Come on. if you didn't hear the scores earlier, the Red Sox defeated the Yankees yesterday 6-5. And also the Rays defeated the Orioles 5-2. And the Angels defeat the Blue Jays 6-1. So the Red Sox now have a 3-game lead. I would not say commanding, but they have a 3-game lead over... Where are my standings here? Okay, let's have a 3-game lead over both the Blue Jays and the Orioles, who are tied at 81-67. Red Sox hitting has become a little bit more consistent, and the starting pitching has not been that bad. All those Clay Buchholz whiners. I had to keep quiet because Clay pitched a very good game, not yesterday, but the day before. Yesterday, David Price didn't have his best game, but the hitting came through. And it's a case that I think I said on a previous program. Championship teams manage to get good pitching along with good hitting simultaneously throughout most of the season, and that will carry them into the playoffs and possibly to a world championship. It's when the hitting is good and then the pitching tails off, and then the pitching tails off, and the hitting is good, that teams have problems. And that's been the Red Sox problems, I think, throughout most of the season. And what has happened is that the starting pitching has settled down, and the hitting, which is, I think, what, they're the first or second best hitting team in the major leagues, batting average-wise. Maybe second behind the Cubs, I guess. But anyway, they're up there. And the bullpen had become an issue. But now Uehara's back, and Kimbrel seems to have gotten over his knee injury. And Barnes has been doing well, and Ziegler. So they've settled in a little bit, and they brought some arms from the minors. Kelly, I don't know why he was in the minors so long, with the way the bullpen was going, but I guess they didn't want to send somebody down or out who did not have, could not clear, they could not just outright them to the minors. They didn't want to lose anyone. So anyway, he's up now, and he's doing well, and I would be shocked if he did not make the squad for the playoffs, since it looks like we have a good shot of making the playoffs, if not winning our division. Because we have a lot of games. The Rays have been playing well. They got nothing to lose. They got good pitching. And they've been giving everybody fits. They gave the Yankees fits before they came in here. And now they're giving the Orioles fits. And so anything can happen. It seems like the Blue Jays are probably in the worst shape, because they have some key injuries. Donaldson is out. And they hadn't been playing that well to begin with. Bautista was out for a while. He came back, and he seemed like he hadn't been able to shake the rust off so far. Encarnacion been hitting for power, but the average isn't that great. But, hey, we'll have to wait and see what happens. But right now, the Red Sox seem to be in the driver's seat. So let's just keep our fingers crossed out there, you Red Sox fans. excuse me. It looked like no matter how the playoffs go, we're going to have some Red Sox or Red Sox alumni involved in the playoffs. Theo Epstein's Chicago Cubbies, they've clinched in the Central Division of the National League. And Dave Roberts has got the Dodgers out in front. 5 games ahead of the Giants in the National League West. So therefore, we'll, you know, like I said, we got some alumni we could probably root for if the Red Sox don't, if you want to, I guess. If the Red Sox don't go as far as we would like them to go. But if the Red Sox keep going and David Ortiz continues to have his fantastic final year, hey, I think we are shot. We have a good shot as anybody else. Hanley Ramirez, pardon me, has been a tremendous boost for the Red Sox over the past month or two. Getting his average up into the 290s, exactly at 290, and hitting with power. He had, what, 20-some-odd home runs? I forget how many. 25, 26, somewhere around there. And Betts has been continuing his drive. Dustin Pedroia has been out of his mind, moving into second place in the batting race. David Ortiz is in third or fourth place in the batting race. David Ortiz in the batting race. You look for David Ortiz to hit the home runs and the RBI, which he's been doing. But he's also hitting .318. So there you go. How about that? You go, David. Benintendi's back, and he and Young seem to be a good combination out there in left field against left-handed and right-handed pitchers. And if we can get Travis Shaw, if we can get some offense out of our third base slot, Travis Shaw had a brief swing of good ball during the last road trip, but seems to have tailed off a little bit. But hey, he's playing solid defense and gives us that solid left-handed bat against the right-handed pitchers. So it looks pretty good from here. Who would I pick to win the whole ball of wax? Well, I picked the Red Sox only because of the fact that, I'm a homer. Haven't seen the Rangers play in quite a while, but they've held on to the best record in the American League for quite a while. Cleveland, haven't seen them play for quite a while, but they've got the second best record. And the Red Sox have the third best record. We got a shot. You know, like I said, if we can get our hitting and pitching to continue to be as solid as it has been together, like I said, we got as good a shot as anybody else, I think. It's 4:30 here on WMFO. This is Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 FM dial. We're on the internet, www.wmfo.org. We multicast on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. And you can download the WMFO mobile app, 91.5 FM.org. I'm your host, Don Lee Brown, on this Sunday, September 18th, 2016 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports, talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 until 5 a.m. To get involved in the conversation, you have to give me a call at our new phone number, 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-WMFO. The call is on us. Be back.
More than 23 million of our children and adolescents are overweight or obese, putting them at higher risk for serious health problems. I'm Massachusetts State Representative Kim Ferguson. Women in Government, an organization of women state legislators, is working to promote policies that make it easier for children and families to eat healthy and be more physically active in our schools and neighborhoods. To learn more, visit womeningovernment.org. That's womeningovernment.org.
And the mission is brought to you by friends here at WMFO, Sounds of Praise Ministry, and a Brown Perspective on Sports. Okay, let's go to the college football scores yesterday, actually. Let's go back to Thursday. On Thursday, Houston defeated Cincinnati 40-16. And on Friday, Baylor topped Rice 38-something. Baylor won, but I didn't put down the Rice score. Okay, tear up my contract. Here we go. And yesterday, Alabama defeated Mississippi in a barn burner 48-43. In an upset, Louisville, ranked number 10, pounded Florida State, who's ranked number 2, 63-20. Some kid named Lamar Jackson, since I, you know, like I said, I say, I don't, you know, he, I don't know, freshman, sophomore, whatever he is, ran for 146 yards and 4 touchdowns. And he's the quarterback. He threw for 216 yards and another TD. Can somebody spell Heisman Trophy? Ohio State 45, Oklahoma 24. Michigan 45, Colorado 28. And I understand with Tom Brady Day out there in Michigan. I wonder if Goodell can find him for that. Clemson 59, South Carolina State zip. Stanford 27, USC 10, Washington 41, Portland State 3, Washington 41, Portland State 3. Should I call that cupcake? Yeah, I guess I should. Wisconsin 23, Georgia State 17, but the cupcake didn't do badly in that game. California 50, Texas upset, Texas ranked number 11. California 50, Texas 43. Where's the D? The D got out of Texas somehow or other. Michigan State 36, Notre Dame 28. Here's a cupcake upset. North Dakota State, who was unranked, defeated Iowa, ranked number 13, 23-21. Tennessee 28, Oklahoma 19. Is that Oklahoma? Oh, I'm sorry. Tennessee 28, Ohio 19. Cupcake. But the cupcakes didn't do badly in that game either. Georgia 28, Missouri 27. Texas A&M 29, Auburn 16. LSU 23, Mississippi State 20. Nebraska upset, unranked. Nebraska defeated Oregon, ranked number 22. 35-32. Florida 32, North Texas zip. That was a cupcake. Arkansas 42, Texas State 3, another cupcake. And here we go. We end with a cupcake. Miami 45, Appalachian State 10. And if you listen to the program, I know you listen to the program regularly. When we get into college football, I bemoan the fact that big time colleges pad their records by playing, you know, small college teams who have virtually no chance. I don't say that they, you know, that football is still pointy. It points on both ends, and it can bounce in weird ways. And occasionally, the underdogs come up, and they surprise the big wigs. But the whole thing is M-O-N-E-Y. The colleges get big money. Small colleges get big money for going to the big college schools. And if the big college schools go to their little school, they bring their crowd with them, and that makes more big money. And so the whole thing is, we don't care if the kids are unmatched on one side or another, let's make the big money. That's what the big guys at the NCAA allow to happen, and they're supposed to be looking out for the welfare of the youth. And don't give me that student athlete stuff. It's 4:40 here at WMFR. I've sounded off, I guess, enough. But those are the kind of things that that kind of stuff in the, I guess I got to write an article about that for my newsletter. That kind of stuff in the designated hitter a lack of designated hitter when the American League goes into a National League park, you know, and the National League can use a designated hitter when they come into American League park, it drives me crazy. I'm going to write a letter to John Henry, too, about that and see if we can get the other American League owners to change the situation. If the National League wants to stay with no designated hitter, that's up to them. But when we go into their park, we're bringing our DH with us. Although they say that the 3 days off in San Diego that David Ortiz got was very beneficial to him health-wise. But overall, you know, we could have used somebody else if we'd gone to sit David down for 3 days. We could have put somebody else in there. Instead, we lost a close game out there, at least one close game out there, I believe, because of the fact we had no DH. Okay, that's just my opinion. It's 4:41, and I'm entitled to give my opinion on my program, right? 4:41 here at WFLA Medford. This is Donnelly Brown sounding off about his pet peeves. And we'll be back after this break.
When I started speaking out about DVT, deep vein thrombosis, I hoped people would listen and talk.
Each year, 2 million Americans are diagnosed with DVT.
Up to 200,000 people die from its complications.
My husband was one of them. While on assignment in Iraq, David died from complications related to DVT.
DVT is a blood clot in your legs that can break loose and travel to your lungs with potentially fatal complications.
I survived.
My brother-in-law wasn't so lucky.
But DVT can be prevented. Know the risk factors and the warning signs.
If you have restricted mobility for an extended period of time,
a prior DVT,
have cancer,
or certain heart or respiratory diseases,
these could lead to a life-threatening complication of DVT called pulmonary embolism.
I was lucky.
Very lucky.
Get the facts at PreventDVT.org and talk to your doctor about whether you are at risk.
And the message is brought to you by friends here at WMFO, Sounds of Praise Ministry, and a Brown perspective on sports. Okay, National Football League time. Last week, yours truly had the best record among my competitors. I went out at 12-4. My grandson Kyle and my good friend Bill were 11-5. Scott, my son, was 10-6. And Kenny brought up the rear at 9-7. And so, therefore, I feel very confident going into this week. Matter of fact, I like to rub salt into the wound. And all of the, not so much with the guys I'm competing with, because they're all Patriots fans, but all of the people who were moaning and groaning over the fact that Jimmy Garoppolo did not look good in preseason and Brady should have stayed away and we shouldn't have worried about him until game five and all that kind of stuff. And we're going to go down the tubes because of the injuries that we had and everything else. Overall, the Patriots played an extremely good game against the Arizona Cardinals. Some people will say, well, we were fortunate because they shanked a field goal attempt that was, you know, 47 yards, but, you know, generally very makeable. Hey, we could say the same thing about last year's playoffs against Denver, where we missed an extra point that would have probably put us into a better position to go into overtime against the Broncos, and who knows what might have happened then. But anyway, that's what happened. That's why I say the football can have those pointy ends, and anything can, strange things can happen. And so, therefore, we played a good enough game defensively. And then we found out later on that Dont'a Hightower was playing with a bad knee that he hurt early in the game. Yet he toughed it out. Probably should have been taking himself out of the game, but yet he toughed it out. And the Patriots won. Garoppolo played extremely well. And so, therefore, we're going to have to wait and see if he can continue that. But my old son Scott and I had this debate several years ago about the Patriots' success. Was it the players or was it the system? And I came down the side of the players. He came down the side of the system. But this year, I'll have to say, it's both players and system. I think that, well, for example, with the team is very deep, and I think that guys like Freeney and Markievicz Mingo, you know, can probably fill in fairly well for Hightower. If we sit him out, I'm assuming we're going to sit him out since he didn't practice all week. And we played without Gronkowski. And Bennett did mostly blocking. He got three passes, I believe, for really, you know, small yardage. But he did what he was supposed to do, kept Garoppolo healthy. And we have two other tight ends as well. So we may get more tight end offense. Today when we play, go up against the Miami Dolphins, who also have a formidable front, but they don't have as good a back field, I understand, as Arizona did. And I guess if you have to take a quarterback, you take Carson Palmer over Tannehill. So therefore, although Tannehill is more mobile, and he can hurt you with his legs, but that works on our behalf as well, because Garoppolo is more mobile than Tom Brady. And so, therefore, what he may not understand as far as the other team's defenses are concerned, he may be able to run away from them with his legs as well. So, therefore, I'm picking. And are you ready for my picks? Well, I'm off to a good start anyway because the Jets and the Bills played on Thursday. And I had the Jets in that one. And the Bills, the day after, fired their offensive coordinator. Now, they scored 30-some-odd points in that game. Now, why blame it on the offensive coordinator? Maybe because the defensive coordinator is Rex's brother. He ain't heavy. He's my brother. So let me carry you. He is heavy. They're both heavy. But anyway, Rex decided that was the move he wanted to make. And he seems like he's trying to do all he can to preserve his job. But my prediction here is that the Ryans are both going to be gone before the season is over. Okay, so I'm one up, and I think everybody picked the Jets in that game. So I'm still one up on everybody. And today's games, I have the Panthers over the 49ers as they get some calls from the replacement refs this week. And that was a big controversy about all the hits to the head that Cam Newton took. And I heard some people say, well, hey, if you're a running quarterback, you got to go with the hits. Not to the head. You go with the hits, but you don't go with the hit to the head. Those hits to the... And as someone, I think, said on a program that I was watching, hey, the defensive players are going to continue to do that because there is no... I mean, they get fined, you know, a few bucks, you know, when I say a few bucks, thousands of dollars, but that's still nothing compared to the fact that they can take out a key player by going to the head. And they stay in the game. The key player goes out because he got to go through the concussion protocol. If it's a hit to the head, the offending player should be out as well. So anyway, that's my thing on the all the hits that Cam Newton took. I got the Cowboys over Washington as Dakota rises to the occasion. Again, he had a good game with the defense that let them down in that Dallas loss last week. I got the Steelers over the Bengals as Big Ben rises to the occasion. I think I read that line somewhere before. I got the Giants over the Aints. Bring out the bags. Again, this season is going to be ugly down there in Nollins. I got the Patriots over the Dolphins. And even if Gronkowski and all the other guys that are out don't play, I think that Patriots should handle the Dolphins. We're at home, and I think the team will catch fire. We had some fumbles that made that game more close, and the Arizona game more close than it actually could have been. So there you go. I got the Texans over the Chiefs, and the Patriots alumni strike again. Kansas City, they are having problems. I got the Lions over the Titans in a mediocre bowl game. It seems like there are more mediocre teams in the National Football League this year. That's why I said in, I think, last week's program, you got to give hats off to the Patriots scouting people. They've done fantastic work. I mean, guys like Collins and Brissett and Garoppolo a couple of years ago and, you know, on and on and on. So anyway, I got the Ravens over the Browns, and that, you know, not a game I'm going to be, you know, eager to watch. I got the Seahawks over the Rams. Okay, the Rams looked terrible last week. And Seahawks D looked pretty good against the Dolphins. And Wilson has a bad ankle, but I think he can beat the Rams on one foot. I got the Bucks over the Cardinals. And I think that's my upset pick of the week. I don't think the Cardinals have recovered. They were so fired up with the fact that they were going to be able to play the Patriots without Brady and then later on without Gronkowski that they're going to have a letdown. And the Bucks, who are up and coming, I think they can upset them, even though it's out there in Arizona. I got the Chargers over the Jaguars, but not by much. Both teams seem to be hurting as far as, you know, quality football teams are concerned. Raiders over the Falcons. Oakland is on the rise, guys, and so therefore I'm picking the Raiders over the Falcons. Raiders had a good win. They gave up a lot of points last week, but they had a good win anyway. So I'm taking the Raiders. I've got the Broncos over the Colts. And we're going to see how many helmet-to-helmet hits on Luck are going to be given out today. The Broncos quarterback played pretty well. Guy we never heard of from Northwestern. I know that Wilbon and all those other people are jumping up and down who are Northwestern graduates. But anyway, I got the Broncos over the Colts, but the Colts just have not seemed to added much to the offense or defense to make Luck any better this year. I got the Packers way over the Vikings. I don't care who plays quarterback for Minnesota. In fact, if they use Minnie Mouse quarterback, if they could get her out of a contract with Disney, they still wouldn't win. But anyway, that's just my opinion. I got the Bears over the Eagles. And I'm not a member of the Jay Cutler fan club. The Bears didn't look that great. The Eagles won. But I'm thinking the Bears are going to turn it around. The Eagles, to me, are another mediocre team, playing another mediocre team. But the mediocre team at home is the one that I'm picking. And my buddy Bill, he picked the Jets. He picked the Panthers. He picked the Washington team. He got the Bengals. He got the Giants. He got the Patriots, Texans, Lions, Ravens, Seahawks, Cardinals, Jaguars, Raiders, Broncos, Packers, and Eagles. And so he's got three losses there at least. Okay, and Scott was busy this week, so he got in his picks early. He had the Jets over the Bills. He got the Panthers over the 49ers, the Cowboys over Washington, Steelers over Bengals, Giants over the Saints, Patriots over the Dolphins, Texans over the Chiefs, the Lions over the Titans. That's one that I don't have. I got the Titans over the... Yeah, I got the Lions over the Titans. Okay. You got the Ravens over the Browns, Seahawks over the Rams, Cardinals over the Buccaneers. There we go. I knew I had one on him. My Buccaneers have to come through if I'm going to preserve my lead. He got the charge over the Jaguars. This is another one that I got against him. I got the charge over Jaguars also, but not by much. Raiders over the Falcons, Broncos over the Colts, and the Packers over the Vikings. And the Eagles over the Bears. So that's where we go off track. I haven't heard from Kenny or Kyle, so therefore can't give you their picks either. But we always say, don't bet. It's so difficult. You know, just picking the winners, never mind when the points are in there. That puts it in the gambler's favor. Okay, 4:58 here on WMFO in Medford. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown. This is the Sunday, September 18th, 2016 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports Talking Sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 until 5 a.m. It's just about time to wrap this up. We have a great edition of Sounds of Praise coming your way as we get back to more new music and top hits of the year 2016. So don't you dare touch that dial. I'll be back in a few seconds. See you next Sunday at 4 a.m. or thereabouts talking sports here on WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts.